Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Psychopath Inside is a nonfiction work that blends neuroscience, memoir, and popular psychology. James H. Fallon, a neuroscientist known for work in neuroanatomy and brain imaging, examined psychopathy through an unusual personal discovery, his own brain scans, and genetic profile showed patterns associated with psychopathic traits. Rather than presenting psychopathy only as a criminal category, the book investigates how brain structure, inherited tendencies, and early life experience interact to shape behavior. Fallon uses his scientific background to explain research on emotional processing, impulse control, empathy, and aggression, while also reflecting on his family history and personal relationships. The purpose is not to offer a diagnostic manual or a guide to treatment, but to complicate common assumptions about evil, violence, and personality. Its central question is why some people with biological markers linked to psychopathy become dangerous, while others remain socially functional and outwardly successful. I will give you key takeaways from this book. 1. Firstly, brain imaging as a window into psychopathic traits, a central feature of the book, is Fallon's use of brain imaging to discuss psychopathy in biological terms. He focuses on regions involved in emotion, inhibition, moral judgment, and social attachment, especially networks linking the frontal lobes with limbic structures. The significance of this approach is that it shifts psychopathy from a purely behavioral label toward a question about how the brain processes fear, reward, punishment, and other people's emotional states. Fallon does not claim that a scan alone proves someone is a psychopath, but he treats imaging as one line of evidence that can reveal patterns of reduced emotional responsiveness or impaired regulation. This matters because psychopathy often appears paradoxical. A person may be intelligent, charming, and strategic while showing limited remorse or empathy. Brain-based explanations help account for that combination without reducing the person to a simple villain. The book also shows the limits of neuroscience, since similar biological patterns can produce different life outcomes depending on upbringing, choices, and social context. Secondly, the three-factor model of brain, genes, and childhood environment, Fallon, presents psychopathy as the result of interacting influences rather than a single cause. The book repeatedly emphasizes three broad factors: atypical brain patterns, genetic variants associated with aggression or emotional regulation, and exposure to significant early trauma or abuse. His personal case becomes important because he reports having the first two factors, but not the third. This allows him to argue that biology may create risk or temperament, while environment can shape whether those traits become destructive. The model is useful because it avoids two common simplifications. One is biological determinism, the idea that genes or scans mechanically determine conduct. The other is environmental reductionism, the idea that psychopathy is only produced by bad experiences. Fallon positions development as probabilistic inherited and neural traits can increase the likelihood of certain behaviors, but childhood stability, attachment, and social reinforcement can redirect those traits. The book therefore uses psychopathy to explore a broader scientific question about how predisposition becomes personality. Thirdly, the idea of the pro-social psychopath. One of the most distinctive ideas in the book is Fallon's self-description as a pro-social psychopath. He uses the phrase to distinguish between people with psychopathic traits who become violent or exploitative and those who function within ordinary social boundaries. In this framing, traits such as fearlessness, competitiveness, emotional detachment, and risk tolerance are not automatically criminal. In some settings, they may contribute to professional boldness, composure under pressure, or willingness to make difficult decisions. The point is not to romanticize psychopathy. Since Fallon also discusses interpersonal costs, including how low emotional sensitivity can affect family, friendship, and moral responsibility. The concept is important because it separates traits from outcomes. A person may have limited effective empathy yet still follow rules, maintain relationships, and avoid harm through cognitive understanding, habit, reputation, or ethical commitment. This distinction challenges popular images of psychopaths as inevitably violent and invites readers to think about psychopathy as a spectrum of traits rather than a fixed identity. Fourthly, family history and the personal turn in scientific self-examination. The book stands out because Fallon places his own family history beside his laboratory research. He discusses an ancestral line that includes alleged murderers and the often cited connection to Lizzie Borden. Using this material not as proof of inherited criminality, but as a provocation for thinking about lineage, temperament, and coincidence. The personal turn gives the book a memoir dimension. The scientist becomes both observer and subject. That structure creates a productive tension. On one hand, Fallon's life gives readers a concrete case through which to understand abstract neuroscience. On the other hand, the book implicitly shows why individual stories cannot settle scientific questions. Family anecdotes can raise hypotheses, but they do not establish causation. This tension is part of the value of the work. Fallon is not simply explaining psychopathy from outside. He is forced to ask how scientific categories apply when the evidence points back at him. The result is a more reflective account of research, identity, and self-interpretation. Lastly, moral responsibility after biological explanation. A major implication of the book is the uneasy relationship between neuroscience and moral responsibility. If brain organization and genetic predisposition influence empathy, aggression, and impulse control, then simplistic blame becomes harder to sustain. At the same time, Fallon does not present biology as an excuse for harmful behavior. His own case is used to argue that awareness can matter. Knowing about one's tendencies may create pressure to monitor behavior, listen to feedback, and build compensating habits. The book therefore occupies a middle position between compassion and accountability. It encourages readers to understand why some people may be less emotionally responsive, while still recognizing that social life depends on limits, responsibility, and consequences. This is especially relevant to public discussions of crime, punishment, and psychiatric labeling. The book does not provide a legal framework, but it raises practical questions about prevention, early childhood support, and how society should respond when biological vulnerability intersects with damaging environments. Its value lies in making these questions intellectually concrete. In conclusion, The Psychopath Inside is best suited for readers interested in neuroscience, psychology, criminal behavior, personality, and the nature versus nurture debate. It will especially appeal to those who want a scientifically informed account that remains accessible without becoming a technical textbook. The practical benefit is not a checklist for diagnosing others, but a more careful way to think about traits such as empathy, charm, fearlessness, aggression, and emotional distance. Intellectually, the book helps readers see psychopathy as a developmental and biological problem rather than a simple synonym for evil. It also encourages skepticism towards single-cause explanations, since Fallon repeatedly links brain patterns, genetic vulnerability, childhood experience, and social behavior. Compared with many popular books on psychopathy, its distinguishing feature is the author position as both neuroscientist and unexpected case study. Other books often focus on criminals, clinical profiles, or workplace manipulation. This one is centered on self-examination through brain imaging and genetics. That does not make it a complete account of psychopathy, and readers seeking treatment guidance or broad clinical coverage may need other sources. Its strength is narrower but unusual. It shows how a scientific category can become personal, morally complicated, and difficult to interpret in ordinary life. If you would like to support James H. Fallon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.